Yeah. answers. What?
So.
I know, I'm,
It goes, how's that going? It goes,
Oje
Lashem,
Kirito,
Kirito, Pastor. Oje Lashem, Oje Lashem. How's it going?
I'm not where we did.
We skipped. It's okay, we're allowed to.
Sounded great to me.
By the way, I think that was the first time that we've ever held hands before the Torah, no?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like.
Finish.
Oh, well. No, I'm not saying.
Was I later than I thought?
Nah. All right, so it works. It works.
No, I'm saying like, still good.
Yeah. Next time we'll get the middle part.
We'll get the middle part. That was the show. I'm sorry, I don't know where the matches are, but it looks like the matches are all around the table. Taka, no.
Is
that a good line?
Yeah.
We'll put it on iPhones.
The matches are all around the table because every single person here is a Ne'er Hashem Nishma Seldom, and Maisa coming out. On New Year's, post New Year's, we could be doing a million things. I don't know, watching college football or something. I appreciate everyone coming to be able to sing, to daven, to learn. It means a lot. Our learning should be supposed for Shlema,
Michal, Ben
Chana, for Hashem, for Yosef, and Peril, and all the Jews in Muncie, Nidar Fua, all the Jews throughout the world, and throughout the world, as Hashem, only hear good things. Today was a special day for all those who were. in attendance in the thing today, but with Rabbi Goldberg, Rabbi Shapiro, or you watch the thing online. Today was today wasn't New Year's. I mean, it was New Year's, but it was also a very, very special day—a day of tremendous, tremendous kavod shemayim. I'm jealous because I don't learn daf yomi. I don't plan on learning daf yomi, but when you see people so thirsty, I'm just very, very honest. You see people so thirsty, it shows that there's something special in the world. Abbe Goldberg started a story off. I wasn't planning on saying the story, but my wife is so. She said when Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the daf yomi, when he was 7 years old. So what happened to me? There wasn't like a school movement. The Malamed used to come, the teacher used to come to the house and teach Torah to the kids. What happened? One day, he wasn't able to come. So what happened was, is that she was like bawling her eyes out. Like you like got like a 60 on a test and your parents are like, this is going to ruin your GPA. Like she was bawling. And like she, younger Mayor like said to her, like Mayor said to her, Mom, like you came yesterday, I'll come tomorrow. Okay, it was one day. So she was like, you don't understand, like one day is like, is a world. Not just one day quantitatively, qualitatively, just one day, even one day of Torah, one day of spirituality is something so special. And so Rabbi Goldberg wanted to say that his mother's tears of Mamish, that really was what inspired him to be able to really, really start this movement. He died at 46 years old with Meir Shapiro. Mm. 46 years old. But his Mamish, his neshama, can only imagine every day, Rabbi Goldberg estimated 300,000 people learned this year the Daf Yomi, millions and millions of pages. He says Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, gets credit. Who gets the most credit? His mother's tears. His mother. I never said this. I think I said the story once publicly, but I'll say it again. So I went to Yeshiva University. For those who don't know, Yeshiva University is a college in Manhattan, Washington Heights. The privilege to be there for 7 years, Baruch Hashem. Not because I skipped any grades or because I got held back. But yeah, I should have got held back, probably, but I was there for 3 years undergrad and 4 years, or three or four in Smicha, whatever. A lot of interesting people, Washington Heights. I'm sure everyone here knows Manhattan, where YU is. There's the YU side. Then there's the German side, the Yekka side, the Breuer side. A lot of my grandparents' friends, the Germans, moved there after the war. It's still a very populated Jewish area. And in the middle is something that I like to call the Dominican Republic. not in a racist way, just like that's realistically like there's no English. There's really no English there.
Yeah.
You also shouldn't walk there late at night by yourself. No. Okay. So I was once going, I'm probably gonna get in trouble for saying that. Okay, no. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara says you're supposed to start off with a joke. So I start with a joke. They're nice people, don't get me wrong. Whatever. So I was once walking home, I don't know if it was for lunch or whatever, and there was this Jew who was very old. And one of my friends was walking him, and he said he had to go to class, he had to go to share. He couldn't walk him up to his apartment. And he saw him, he's like, all right, you can cross the street, do you mind to walk him up to his apartment? I said, sure, no problem. And I walked him up, and I could clearly tell that this person that I was walking with was not American, and he wasn't Israeli. He was clearly European, and a Pashut survivor. And we had a little, I mean, I'm like a grandchild of survivors. So like for me, like I'm also, it was my major in YU. Like I majored in Holocaust studies, even though it's not a major, I made it my major. Whatever, I figured it out. I was like very passionate about it. So I'm talking to him and I said, do you mind me to ask you a few questions? And he said, sure, no problem. You know, some survivors like to talk to some didn't. So he opens up and says to me, he said, you don't even know. He says, I never got married. I don't have children. And the whole week I'm so lost. So down and so sad. And I think about my family the whole time. I'm a stranger. I'm just walking him up. I just met him 3 minutes ago. I'm walking up from the elevator to his building in Washington Heights. And he turns to me and he says, but when Shabbos comes and I set the table, I put the challah border on, I put like the grape juice cup on. He says, and I light the candles. He says, I see my entire family. Not physically, he's saying spiritually. I see my entire family, and I'm that's my only time I ever met him before. And I only met him once. And I think about that story from time to time. meaning a Jew, who Mamash says when Shabbos comes, he sets the table, he says he forgets everything that happened in his past life. And I've never, and I think about him all the time, because this is someone who understands it's not thinking about the present situation, but it's about looking a little above what's happening in your present eyes. So those two stories, with Rav Meir Shapiro, his mother's tears, and with that story of the tzaddik that I met in Washington Heights, I think it's a good intro to tonight's learning. Probably this week's parasha, probably the most emotional scene of the entire Torah. I would beg to argue. The emotional scene of Yosef telling his brothers, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef who you sold. And Yaakov meaning Yosef. It's just, there's so much emotion here. If you think about it, I'm sorry I didn't even give you the copies today. I didn't have enough time. The Nesiv HaShalom writes an incredible idea. The Nesiv HaShalom was a Hasidic rabbi. This is like the main sefer of Hasidus to start off with. My rabbi, Moshe Weinberger, so he just says that this is like the foundational sefer to start off. Anyone who wants to get into Hasidus, like, this is it. Hebrew sometimes is a little hard, but the more you get, the more you do it, the more you get into it. So he writes a very simple thing. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Yosef Elachav, his first words, like he couldn't hold back his emotion anymore. He sees that Yehuda is ready to die for Binyamin. He's ready to die for his brother. And the Pasuk says, Vayochel Yosef Lizapik, and he sends everyone out of the room. He says those famous words to his brothers, Ani Yosef Aurovichai. I am Yosef, is my father still alive? But if you look about last week's Parsha, two or three times it's already saying that they said that their father's alive. What's he asking again? I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? What's going on over here?
I always see there's like an expression of wonder. Is it true? My father's still alive? I don't know.
Otherwise, right. So there are those who say, like, there's a Beis Halevi, but it's a very nice Torah from the Beis Halevi, that I need Yosef out of Ichai. It's like a Yo'oilon Yomadin, Oilon Yototacha. It's like the brothers were like shocked. It was like that's what we're going to feel like. You know, that shock when we're going to get to Shemaim, that shock of like standing in front of Hashem and Hashem seeing everything. That's not the route that I want to go, but it's like
Mashiach.
It's a very Mashiach took a moment. Can you imagine being in that room?
Yeah.
But he asked a simple question. Why is he asked? That's the first thing you're going to say. I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? And then he says it again. Because the brothers got scared. He showed him his bris. It was the whole thing. Why is he asking him again? And he says, if you're going to say you're Yosef, you should really say, Ha'od Avinu Chai. What's Ha'od Avi? Right? I didn't do Amai. Should say Avinu, no? Mm-hmm. I didn't do so well in YU, my first class. There's two classes in YU to take. Hebrew 501 and 502. I don't know. 501, 601, I don't know. Let's just say I needed to take a semester off from after I took the first one. My parents didn't want to go Mashana Bet, so I didn't really try. But then I realized that it wasn't really coming up. It wasn't getting back at them when I did bad. It was really getting bad. It was affecting me too. So then I tried my second crack at it. Did a little better. Can't say I got an A, but okay, no. Yeah. But Avi, she said, Avinu, what's up? There's two questions. Why is this the first thing that he says? And why did you say Avi? So he says that's such a beautiful idea. This is something that I think about all the time, and this is, I think, what the Jew was telling me at the Shabbos table, and I think this is what Meir Shapiro's mother was telling her son, at 7 years old. He said, we always view those words, Ani Yosef Ha'Odavichai, as a question. It's a statement.
Wow.
Ani Yosef Ha'Odavichai. You want to know how I stayed Yosef? Ha'od Avi Chai. You want to know how I stayed Yosef, even in the middle of Egypt, and even in the middle of Mitzrayim, and people tried to seduce me to do terrible things. Ha'od Avi Chai. My father was alive with me every single day. I took Yaakov Avinu's teachings. My father's with me every day. He's not asking him. He already knows that Yaakov's alive. He's telling him that his Torah, that the Torah that he learned as a kid till 17 years old, he was with him every single day. Ha'od Avi Chai. You want to know how I stayed Yosef? That I had a Iskashus Shal Avi Eli Hadona Chaya Shadayin Akesh Beninu Malei Chias. It's filled with energy. He doesn't say this, but maybe we could say Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai doesn't just refer to Yaakov. Who does it refer to? Avi, my father. Hashem is with me every single minute. You want to know how I stayed strong in 2019 when there's so much of this? I don't know what's going to be. How did I stay strong? I try to do a little bit. Okay, daf yomi is hard. I can't do it. But a little more spirituality, a little more Torah, a little more davening. I tried a little bit. How do you stay strong in Galus? Yosef teaches us. Ha'od Avichai, staying close to your traditions, to your panimius, to your ruchnius, to your spirituality. And it's not stam, it's not just random that this parsha always comes after Chanukah. Because Chanukah is that is the message what the Yavanim wanted to take away. They didn't want to just kill us. That's Haman. Haman wanted to kill us. Yeah. Hitler wanted to kill us. The war happened by Hanukkah, but the main thing by Hanukkah was they wanted to tell us, assimilate us. Come, we're like everyone. It's like basically what America is now. Yeah. Come, we're your friends. Come, come. You know, there's a spiritual. I don't have to tell you this, but there's a spiritual Holocaust nowadays. You go to any website, they can tell you all the Jews that have assimilated. It's mamish rampant. It's crazy. Not getting in a sad way, Chas v'Shalom, but that's just the facts. There's a very nice idea. I saw from the Belzer Rebbe. I said this at Shal Shodos in BRS. The Greeks saw, as long as they lit the menorah, as long as the Jewish people lit the menorah, they would not be able to touch us. It was a fact. They had like a tradition brought down from their father, their forefathers. I guess from Aristotle, whoever, you know, the Greek philosopher, anyone?
Socrates, Plato.
Good with that. Tell Mr. Bob, Coach Bob, Bob Levinson, what's his name?
Isaacson,
whatever his name.
Yeah.
What do you call him?
Dr. Bob.
Yeah. You tell Dr. Bob, you learn about a little bit of Aristotle. It's Aristotle, and they all believed in all about the, what does he teach? History, no? Dr. Bob. You should be a bit to share them. I will be called Dr. Bob. He's a good guy. He's a hilarious guy. I met him once or twice. Hilarious guy. So they all believed in the power of the intellect, the power of thinking and the power of our wisdom and this and that. But what they didn't believe in is that at the end of the day, Torah wasn't just science. They believed that Torah is science and math and social studies. But as a Jew, there's science and math, and it's very important. Don't think I'm not telling you guys not to go to college. Important to go to college. But to understand what you do in the morning is connecting to Hashem. And when you do the afternoon, you're also connecting to Hashem in a different way. As a Shechter said today to Siyam Hashas, he says, you want to fall in love with Hashem? You have to learn about Hashem. You want to fall in love with the girl? It's very pasha. You have to learn about her.
Yeah.
The more you learn about her, the more you come to love her. So you want to love Hashem? You have to learn about Him. How do you do that? By learning Torah. It's pasha. There are people today who I saw who were crying making that siyum. Crying. Because there was someone who night after night, morning after morning, for 7.5 years, put into that relationship. Crying their eyes out. They have a romantic relationship with Hashem. The Greeks didn't win in their lives. They won. For 7.5 years. Can you imagine? 7.5 years. I'm sure for everyone, I mean, for me, I'll be honest, it's very scary. I can, and it's a very bad Yitzhar to start comparing. Everyone's on their own journey. Don't compare. As soon as you start comparing, you're just going to go down. Everyone has to be on their own level. It's very simple. But that's what the Yavanim did. The Yavanim said, as long as the menorah is not lit, it'll be away. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, why does he care about the menorah so much? Why do they care about the menorah? So he said, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, the menorah represented Torah. Because the menorah was placed in the Beis HaMikdash, was placed in the southern section of the Beis HaMikdash. Harotza Sheyachim Yajim, the Medrash says. Someone who wants to become wise, look towards the south. They said, as long as they had the Torah, they wouldn't be able to touch it. Their main thing in Al Nisim was said, La'ashkicham, what do they want us to forget? Torah Secha. Wants to forget our connection. Our job is to be like the mother of Rav Meir Shapiro, like Rabbi Goldberg said today. Even one day, we're crying about that one day, that opportunity, we'll never get that day back ever again, she said to him. You might get the Torah back tomorrow, but you never get that day. That minute. So the next time you want to fall asleep in class, it's okay to sometimes take a nap. When I was in Shir in YU, I needed sometimes to take a nap. But Shir was a long hour and 15 minutes. I could focus for 15 minutes, maybe. Which is where we are. But to understand, Ani Yosef, you want to be strong in Galus, Ha'ora Bichai. And that's why he doesn't say Avinu. He says Avi, because I felt my personal connection to Hashem. Everyone connects to Hashem in a different way. Some of you, obviously through Torah, Tefillah, Midos, yeah. Whatever, Chesed, everyone on their own level. So it's he's not just saying Avinu, it's Avi. I felt the connection to Hashem. And that's what Meir Shapiro, what his mother was telling him, and that's what the Jew who told me that on Shabbos comes, he felt the connection to Hashem. No matter what happened during the week, he sets the table on Shabbos, He feels close to Hashem. And that's the whole word from the Belzer Rebbe, the Dafka that Yavanim wanted to take away. They were fine with us learning the Torah. But as soon as it gets to your heart, as soon as it gets to your soul, no. It should just stay in your mind, in your brain. See, the Shalom teaches us. Ani Yosef, how did he stay strong? Ha'od Avichai. My father, Yaakov Zavino, his Torah is with me. Or we could say, Avi, Kadosh Baruch Hu, my father is with me every single day. Just to end off with the story. I think we said this before. So you guys read the book Night before, yeah? Mm-hmm. So the book Night.
Elie
Wiesel. Yeah. Elie Wiesel. So there's a person in that book named Moshe the Beetle. Mm-hmm. Moshe Labido is a very close person to my heart, as I'm sure you guys know. It's my wife's grandfather. He grew up in the city of Siget. If you didn't know that, I'll sign autographs later. So what happened was is that Moshe Labido, my wife's grandfather, grew up in Siget with Eli Wiesel. What happened was is that when he was finishing the war, he was on a death march with his brother. Death march, mamish. It was one of these cold, the Nazis knew they were going to lose, but he still wanted to inflict maximum pain, emotional pain. And my wife's grandfather couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't walk. And the Nazis said, if you stop walking, you're shot on the spot.
Yeah.
What happened was he got off to the side of the road, Nazis didn't see him, and he basically put himself head first to the snow. So my wife's grandfather had a brother named Elia. Met him once. He was mamish of fire. He's a tremendous tzaddik. Now you know the end of the story, whatever. So he goes to his brother, to my wife's grandfather, and says, Mashkhan, get up. The war's almost over. We just have to finish a few more miles. The Russians are coming. The Americans are coming. Whatever. Please, just... He said, I'm sorry. I can't tell mommy and daddy if they made it. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. So the story goes that my wife's great uncle gets into the snow next to him and starts Baal Peh, by heart, going to Moshe Chaim, let's go. Let's start reviewing a little bit of more Torah, a little more Mishnayos. Things that they learned already by heart, already in Siget.
Yeah.
They didn't have one of these or a Sefer. And the story goes that my wife's grandfather was able to, he was ready to die in the snow, but when my wife's great uncle was starting to review Psukim and Mishnayos and things of Torah with him, he was so spiritually uplifted and physically uplifted, he's able to finish off the march. You can't make up these stories. I mean, you can.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I heard this mamash from my wife's father. Torah, Hashem, makes us be strong. The more we give to our neshama, just like we want to have a good steak, our body wants steak, our neshama wants a good steak. And what is a good steak for our neshama? It's Torah, it's davening, it's Shabbos, it's midos, it's kedusha. Being careful with what we see. The more we feed our neshama, the more we fall in love with Hashem. So my tefillah to Hashem today, the Siyum HaShas. Siyum HaShas is just not a day of celebration of the past, but it's a celebration for the future as well, of what we could accomplish. And every single Monday, Wednesday, when we gather together, we're not just learning and davening. It's mamish. Every single minute is just connecting with each other through davening, through learning, and all understanding that every single minute, each one of us are Yosef. And ha'od avichai. And how do we stay strong the whole week? How do we stay close to Hashem? Ha'od avichai. Hashem's with us every single minute. Through our learning, through our davening, through our connection to Hashem. We should be zocheh be'ez Hashem next Chanukah. Next year, before the next Yom HaShas, but next Chanukah to be in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh be'ez Hashem.
I tell you later, I saw a patient 2 days ago, 93-year-old. Her name is Hilda Zimmer. Holocaust survivor. She's sick and dying. And she looks and says, look, I have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She says, I won. It or lost. Can't make this up.
That's a good story.
What?
That's a good story.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Good choice. Both are good.
Very good.
And all that are good.